And now, enjoy this free J-Zo Modcast show.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to a brand new episode of My Public Life as an American Nerd. I'm Kevin, and joining me today is my son, Elijah. What's going on, man?
Nothing much.
Nothing much?
Yeah.
That's all right, then. All right, then. And of course, my co-host of the show, Mr. Christian DeCorda. What's going on, man?
So much. So much. I wish it was nothing much. Eli, I bet there's much more to the you're nothing much. I'm sure of it.
Oh, there's a lot more.
Yeah.
Nothing much.
But yeah, it's good to see you guys.
Good to see you too. We're excited about today's show. This weekend, I'm stoked. I'm going to Chicago. Yes. I will be covering C2E2 for Pastrami Nation. It's going to be a blast. Going to be a lot of fun. I've been to Chicago before briefly. It was only for a couple days, kind of like I'm doing now, but this time I'm going to be able to kind of explore more of the city, kind of get a vibe of the place. And that's the cool thing about Comic-Cons. You go to whatever city they're in and you go to the Comic-Cons and you kind of get a vibe of the city, which is really, really cool, which I'm really, really stoked about. Hoping
Kevin,
to get food.
Walk me through. When was the last time you were in Chicago?
So I was in Chicago and had to have been 99, 2000.
So it has been some time.
It's been some time. It was for my sister's graduation from boot camp in Chicago. She's recently retired from the Navy. Me and my dad flew over there to go to her graduation from basic training. We hung out in the city for a while. I think we were only there for one night. We got to, no, maybe 2 days. I don't even remember. It was so long ago. I know we got to check out the city. My aunt was living there at the time, so we got to meet up with her, grab some lunch. We went to this place called, they had this, I don't know if you remember any of these, Christian, but this is a place called Disney Quest that they had. It's kind of like a GameWorks situation, right? You remember GameWorks, of course.
I definitely remember GameWorks.
Yeah, it was very reminiscent of GameWorks. It was just different floors. It was like 4 or 5 stories, and they built them in some of the bigger markets. So they had one in Chicago, New York. I think they had one in Disney Springs in Walt Disney World Resort. And it's essentially you go there and each floor is like a different theme. So it was like a theme park, but in like one building, but it was all video games. And they had this really cool like Space Mountain. Remember the Afterburner? So do you remember the Afterburner arcade game that would actually strap in and it actually spins and everything?
Yeah.
I remember they had a Disney Quest. They had a build your own Space Mountain. So you basically walk through the line, you create your own, however intense you want. It goes upside down, does whatever you want it to do. You go in this little device, you get strapped in, and you get to essentially ride your own roller coaster that you created. Really cool, really fun. Had a blast there. But I don't think it's no longer around, obviously. I think they shut down. I think they're only open for a few years. Really cool idea. Super expensive, though. But I don't know. We had a blast. That was in Chicago. I remember doing that. And I watched Three Kings there, too. So
that gives us a good idea of the timeline.
Because I my dad was just hanging out at the hotel. I was kind of bored, to be honest. You know, I was younger, but I wasn't like dumb enough to kind of go off on my own and go to bars or anything like that. You know what I mean? So I was like, I'm going to go watch a movie. I watched Three Kings there. Good time. Good movie. Gosh, I love that movie. I haven't watched a movie in so long. Such a good movie. You've seen it, right?
It's been a long time, but yeah.
So good. George Clooney, Spike Jones.
Ice Cube. Why am I thinking Jake Gyllenhaal? Jake Gyllenhaal is not.
That was Three Kings. Jarhead.
Jarhead.
You're thinking of Jarhead. Three Kings was those three, and it was directed by David. What's his name? He's very problematic. He does a lot of yells at people on sets and everything like that. David O'Russell, David O'Russell.
Oh.
Yeah, that was the movie that him and Clooney came to blows on. Like that's why
Oh,
they
that's
don't work together
right.
anymore.
Yes.
Good movie. Basically, they go in. It's based during the Desert Storm, like in the 90s, and they're basically out to get Saddam Hussein's gold. So they go on this recon mission to get the gold in the middle of the desert. It's a fun movie. It's a good movie. Mark Wahlberg. Mark
So
Wahlberg.
that was, yes, Mark Wahlberg, right?
Is it
I
Mark
think
Wahlberg?
that was 2001-ish
Yeah,
times.
2001.
So
Okay, so
what's
that.
your schedule this weekend? When are you arriving?
So we're getting there on Friday. I'm getting there at about, it was Mark Wahlberg. I don't know why I thought Spike Jones. It just made sense. So we're getting there on Friday. We're not getting there till about 1 or so. So as soon as we get there, we're going to the hotel, checking in, and then I'm going to the con. Cassie's going too, but she's hanging out with the friend that we have over there. I'm going to be at the con Friday night and then all day Saturday, and then we're coming back on Sunday.
Oh, that's cool. So that's perfect. So you're not traveling alone, but you're going to the con alone.
Yeah, I'm going to the con alone. We
Okay.
actually have a friend who just fairly recently moved over to Chicago. So
Nice.
Cassie's going to hang out with her for the day on Saturday. They're going to go do all the touristy stuff. And I'm going to be at the con just checking it out and doing stuff for Pastrami Nation, doing some live stuff, doing some lots of pictures. As you go to these comic cons, there's lots of pictures to be had. I'm kind of scared, but like in a good way, because like it seems very intimidating there. I've seen pictures and other walkthroughs and stuff, and it looks like it's pretty massive, and like this feels like the real deal, if you know what I mean. Not that the cons I've been to haven't been, but like this feels like a big, 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 big con,
Bigger
which I've
deal
never
than
covered.
the ones you've been on.
Yeah, I mean, Emerald City is pretty big. Emerald City is put on by Reed Pop, the same company, so it's got the same vibe and it's very official. But yeah, Chicago seems a little intimidating, but it's gonna be fun. I'm gonna have a blast and it's going to be a good time.
When I think about, I'm really excited for you. I think going to a con by yourself is a lot of fun. I think we kind of talked about this last time, but
Yeah.
Yeah, you get to be on your own schedule, so
Kind
that's
of
kind
cool.
of fun. I think you're gonna have more of a blast than you might anticipate. So,
Yeah, I'm excited. I think I gotta check out Chicago. I'm hoping to get some good food, hoping to get some of that deep dish pizza, some hot dogs.
some deep
I'm pretty
dish from Booker
basic,
City.
I don't need anything crazy. Just give me some deep dish and a hot dog. I'm good to go. And that's where they filmed The Bear. That's where The Bear takes place. And we actually just finished season 2 again. Eli just watched the full thing.
There we go. What'd you think, Eli?
It was good, chaotic and messy, but good.
Yeah, messy in the best way
Yes.
possible. I know they're still filming season 3 over there, so I'm hoping to, sneak on.
Oh, that'd be cool.
I feel like some of that cast, I feel like Ayo especially is like the type of person who would just show up at Comic-Con just to geek out. So,
Yeah,
never know. You never know.
exactly. I am such a big fan of hers. Can I say like maybe one of my favorite celebrity moments involves Ayo, and that was recent. She very famously was on a podcast and was quite opinionated about Miss Jennifer Lopez, which
Oh.
now, if you're following social media, is not a hot take. This is what the general public feels about Jennifer Lopez. At the
Yeah.
time, it was kind of a hot take for especially a celebrity to take. Fast forward a couple months ago, she was hosting SNL with the musical guest, Miss Jennifer Lopez.
Lopez.
And she was super cool about it and super funny about it. And I feel like that's just the kind of shenanigans I, like many people, find myself in, talking a lot of shit about somebody and then having to share a space with that person. Classic relatability. Love
Absolutely.
it. So
Yeah, I need to check that one out. I haven't checked that out quite yet. But yeah, she's fantastic. She's been great and everything. And she seems like a legitimately like cool person, legitimate nerdy person. She just loves to be there, which is freaking amazing, which is awesome. So yeah, we're excited for that. Stay tuned to Pastrami Nation. You can check out all the stuff on their website, on their socials. If you haven't subscribed over there, please check check them out and write a lot of reviews and stuff over there too. So certainly go check that out. And as you're listening to this, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for checking out the show. Like and subscribe wherever you listen to it. That would be fantastic. And also leave comments. We love to know how we're doing and what you guys think of the show. And that really, really helps us out a lot. On today's show, we're going to be talking about, so last week we talked about the Blair Witch Project, that the Lionsgate was going to be doing a new film franchise based off of. We don't know if it's a reboot, whatever, but over the past week or so, the original cast, the original filmmakers have pushed back on the idea. They're not against it, but there is some backlash on that aspect. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about Martin Scorsese and Steven Spielberg have new films lined up, which I find pretty interesting. The projects they do have lined up, and we'll talk about those a little bit. And we're also going to be talking about Disneyland Forward. They officially announced that it's approved. We'll talk about a little bit about what that means and what it is. M. Night Shyamalan talk, and we'll talk a little bit more about X-Men, the latest episode, and some Fallout stuff, which me and Eli haven't been able to catch up on, but Christian's watched a few episodes and he's a huge Fallout fan. So I'm really, really excited to hear his thoughts on this. So let's talk about the Blair Witch. So like I said, last week on the show, we talked about how Lionsgate picked it up, or they're teaming with Blumhouse to do new films based on the franchise or based on the IP. So for the past week, everyone from Eduardo Sanchez, who is one of the original directors, Daniel Mayrick, who's also one of the original directors, to the original cast, Heather Donahue, Joshua Leonard, and Mike Williams, have all come out kind of saying how Lionsgate, which was the original film studio, has kind of used and abused their image and their rights and stuff like that for years without actually giving them proper compensation for it. Like, they started this essentially one of the most impactful and one of the most, I would say, culturally significant horror movies of the past, 20, 30 years, right? Like, easily.
Yeah, easily.
But there's still, the actors specifically feel like they're still considered less than the sum of the parts, right? Like, they're not properly credited for the film, giving the film as much oomph and as much power as it has. So Joshua Leonard was the first one to kind of post about it. He played Josh in the movie. They all used their real names for the movie. His quote was, "It's been 25 years of disrespect from the folks who've pocketed the lion's share, pun intended, of the profits from our work, and that feels both icky and classless." This was from the news of the reboot, or whatever it is, of the new films. And so basically what happened after that is a bunch of the original cast and crew got together and they wrote a letter basically saying on the social media, "As we near the 25th anniversary of the Blair Witch Project, our pride in the story world we created and the film we produce is reaffirmed by the recent announcement of a reboot by horror icons Jason Blum and James Wan. While we, the original filmmakers, respect Lionsgate's right to monetize the intellectual property as it sees fit, we must highlight the significant contributions of the original cast. As the literal faces of what has become a franchise, their likenesses, voices, and real names are inseparably tied to the Blair Witch Project. Their unique contributions not only define the film's authenticity, but continue to resonate with audiences around the world. We celebrate our film's legacy, and equally, we believe the actors deserve to be celebrated for their enduring association with the franchise. Sincerely, Eduardo Sanchez, Daniel Myrick, Greg Hale, Robin Cowie, and Michael Monello." So that was just kind of the start. They kind of just put it out there saying, hey, like, this is what's going on, and this is how we feel about this whole thing. So basically, they all came together and released a post on Instagram. Y'all can check this out on any of their Instagrams. You can follow Joshua Leonard, Michael C. Williams, Eduardo Sanchez, or whatnot. So they're basically lobbying Lionsgate for some kind of residuals, essentially. So basically, they made it public so that people can see it and Lionsgate will see it. And so it's not just happening behind closed doors. They're trying to make this happen. And essentially, it's a proposal to Lionsgate and here are some of their, I don't want to call it demands, because it's not really demands. It's just kind of things that they're requesting from Lionsgate, since they're using their likeness and their film essentially to build a new franchise off of. So number one, they're looking for retroactive and future residual payments to Heather, Michael, and Josh for acting services rendered in the original Blair Witch Project, equivalent to the sum that would have been allotted through SAG-AFTRA had we been proper union or legal representation when the film was made. So obviously this film, as many of us know, this film was super, super guerrilla style. Like, they were literally in the middle of the woods filming. There was no SAG protections. There was no union minimums as far as how much they had to be paid. This was done kind of out of pocket at the time. But now they're kind of retroactively asking for Lionsgate. Since Lionsgate owns it and Lionsgate is profiting off of it, they want to be considered part of it and they want to be paid what they're due, essentially, for
Paid their
their part,
dues.
pay their dues. Yeah,
Quite
exactly.
greedy, if you ask me. I'm joking. Rightfully so, obviously.
Rightfully so. And
Rightfully so. It's about time, about due time.
I think that's a big one.
Yeah.
I think that certainly needs to happen.
One of the most celebrated horror movies of our generation, if not of all time, and they this is
100%.
like way past due. Yes.
100%. So number two is meaningful consultation on any flu on any future Blair Witch reboot, sequel, prequel, toy, game, right, escape room, etc., in which one could reasonably assume that Heather, Michael, and Josh's names and/or likenesses will be associated for promotional purposes in the public sphere. Now, listen, I don't know how big this new series is going to take off. I don't know even know if it will. But Josh, Heather, and Mike are like the faces of the Blair Witch Project. I don't care how
Yeah.
you try to change that, it's always going to be them. So anything that even assumes that they've been associated with it in any way, they just want kind of final say with the product, which to me is fair.
Also fine.
Very fair.
Like how Iron Man is the face of the MCU.
Yeah, exactly. And they note our film has now been rebooted twice. Both times were a disappointment from a fan box office critical perspective. Neither of these films were made with a significant creative input from the original team, as the insiders who created the Blair Witch and have been listening to what fans love and want for 25 years were your single greatest yet thus far underutilized secret weapon, which is still weird to me that they haven't even approached any other creative team about any of these projects.
This is one of the most frustrating things that like anybody in like the animation field has like knows this already. Obviously, like if you're working on a project, like a personal project, and you work at a studio, you keep this to yourself. Because if you're working on a project and you're working on it on property at a studio, even if it's not theirs, they own it now. So it's like, you know what I mean? You kind of just keep this stuff. This is why like you see so many of these projects that it's like Disney's, Tim Burton's, blah blah blah. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's even though it's his thing that he came up with, it's not his property. He
Right.
doesn't even own the stuff. He can come up with it, he can conceptualize it, he can develop it and spend all the time, and he has no ownership of it. So
That's so crazy.
yeah.
Like, you
So
look at something
that's right.
like Nightmare Before Christmas. I mean, that's like a huge one.
It's one of those things that like in school you kind of like you have to understand, like, if you're going into the animation field, you're gonna get into a field where you're working really hard to bring other people's dreams to reality, right? So you're bringing other people's stories, other people's the things that they've been working on, not your stuff. So that can be taxing as an animator, as an artist. That can be really taxing, and you know that takes its toll on you. I always encourage people like to always work on your stuff, you know, because that's what keeps you sane. You know what I mean?
It's
That way
true.
you're not slaving away and you're actually working on something that's for you, but also keep it to yourself. Like, you know what I mean? Be very smart about who you're letting into your circle with when, and then, you know, when you're ready to execute on that and develop, you can bring your team in. But anyway,
No,
yeah, it's crazy.
absolutely.
It's really crazy. You got to protect yourself. Like,
Absolutely. And I'm glad that they're actually stepping up and trying to get those protections for themselves now. I mean,
yeah.
considering, the movie's what, 25 years old this
Yeah.
year?
Yeah.
25, like, it's so bizarre that these
Because
guys think.
like Eli, you made the like comparison to like, oh, Tony Stark is, or like Robert Downey Jr. The difference is if this is like if Robert Downey Jr. like wrote and like, you know, was starring in it and directed it himself. You know what I mean? Like they were so integral, like not only just the face of it, but like, you know, the creation of it. So yeah, I see where you're coming at. But yeah, this is like That's ridiculous.
It's all crazy. It's crazy. And by the way, did you see that recent interview with Robert Downey Jr. where he said he'd be thrilled to come back as Iron Man to the MCU? I'm like, dude, like, I don't know. I think there needs to be stakes, and I would actually, it'd be cool to see him again, but I'm just like,
Secret Wars.
I don't know. I don't know.
He knows, like, I think Chris Evans said it too. And I think that's why Tom Holland's being like really protective of it too. I mean, if you want to get into it, there's all these rumors now that like Raimi might be coming in for the fourth Spider-Man movie, which I love Raimi. I don't know that that's the answer. I don't
Really?
know.
Okay.
For my personally, like, I'm going
Okay.
back and rewatching Doctor Strange. I'm like, what?
We were talking about that the other day, actually, about Raimi. And we were talking about this news specifically. But like, I feel like so my problem with Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness was it felt like two different films, right? Like you felt like Marvel had their idea of what they wanted to do, and Sam Raimi wanted to do his own thing, and they just didn't meet properly in the middle. I feel
Yeah.
like if Sam Raimi would have just been able to do whatever he wanted without having to include Scarlet Witch, without having to deal with any of that, it essentially would have been Evil Dead, but Doctor Strange, right? Which to me would have been awesome. I understand people's hesitation with that, and understand it wouldn't have been for everybody, which is the problem.
I think the my problem with that is I think the MCU is beyond that already. I think like we
It's so true.
that like especially if you have like a If it's Doctor Strange who's supposed to be like one of the tentpole like characters, you can't just have a director make whatever
They're
they
not going to
want
let him.
anymore.
Yeah.
Like even if it's Sam Raimi, like that's they're so far past like you know what I mean? Like everything has to be tightly woven in. And I think this last whole thing has been we've seen how it falls apart when you give too much freedom to people. Like especially we got to Endgame by like oversight. Like
Oh,
that was
yeah.
the way we got there. And like we had a lot of freedom after, and like people were doing a lot of stories because that was Chapek's order. It was just like I need numbers, and like none of it was connected. All of it was a mess. Like and exactly that. Like Raimi had to make this movie. It was like, oh shit, now I have to make like Scarlet Witch stuff. Wait, I didn't even see that. Like wait, I have to do what now with you know what I mean?
Exactly.
How hard was that for them to like have to do? And then like even like with the promotion of that when like Elizabeth Olsen was like, they were asking her about John Krasinski. She's like, who? She's like, I don't know. I never met that man. I don't know who you're talking about. And they're like, you have scenes with him. She was like, we were never in the same room. Like, dude, what are you
That's
like? We also
crazy.
had to film this after COVID, so give us a break.
Oh, that sucks.
You know, it's there's so much miscommunication. Nobody sees the big picture. Like, not everybody on the team gets to see the big picture. So it's like everybody only sees fragments. So it's like we see the result of it. You know,
Right.
we see a result of like a fragmented like workload of like, you know, like there's not one person's vision anymore.
It's not. It's all
Yeah.
by and it's all by
Design.
design and by corporations
So I think the
committee, a
fact that
committee.
like we've slowed down, I say we like I'm like a sports fan. That they've decided to slow down Feige's like they've kiboshed a lot of the projects. There's only one big like theatrical release this year. You know what I mean? There's only like, you know what I mean? This is good. This is where we needed to be. Quality over quantity. Like this is what it always should have been. Like ultimately what happened between like 2019 and now is Disney used Marvel to launch Disney Plus. They launched Disney Plus at the cost of Marvel.
Oh, they
They
did.
tanked Marvel, so but now they have like an awesome streaming platform. Like that's exactly what happened. It was like, how can we launch this? Oh, let's just launch a bunch of fucking Marvel shows. Like just
Absolutely.
tank it. So cool. They got their streaming service, but now Moon Knight's stupid. I'm sorry. I don't care how look at what I'm holding in my hand. A little Moon Knight thing. What a horrible. I love Oscar Isaac. I love that character. What a stupid show. What a
Yeah.
horrible show. Book of
Even
Boba
the
Fett.
Spider-Man animated show that came out recently did him better.
Cool. That's good. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't see that.
Cool.
But yeah. So maybe that's a plus for Disney. They did that, so good for them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so let's talk about number three real quick from the Blair Witch that they're asked of Liongate. This one I actually really, really like. I think this one's really cool. So they call it the Blair Witch Grant, a $60,000 grant. The budget of the original movie paid out yearly by Lionsgate to an unknown aspiring genre filmmaker to assist in making their first feature film. This is a grant.
I love
not
that.
a development fund. Hence, Lionsgate will not own any of the underlying rights to the property. So they essentially want to pay it forward to other aspiring filmmakers out there who,
Awesome.
Yeah, since they're contributing, since they're making money off of their name and their likeness, and their IP, they want to give back, which is really, really cool. I'm all on board with that. I think that's awesome. And listen, this is far from a boycott of the like reboots or whatever they're going to be. They're not saying that. They just want the Lionsgate to kind of step up and be like, look, we're using this franchise to make money. Let's pay people who created the franchise who were there at the beginning. What they need and what they're owed. I think it's really cool that they're stepping up and doing this. We will see what happens. They have put it public. They have sent it out to Lionsgate. So it ball's in Lionsgate's court right now and Blumhouse to see what they do moving forward. I think that's really cool. Yeah. So that's the Blair Witch pushback. We'll see if any new developments come of that or arise of that. And then we'll get more information about the movies as they progress. So let's talk a little bit about M. Night Shyamalan, his new trailer dropped for his new movie, Trap, starring Josh Hartnett. I'm loving the Josh Hartnett renaissance. I'm loving that he's doing more films again. I honestly didn't even realize he wasn't doing movies for a while until I saw him in Oppenheimer. And I was like, wait,
where have you been?
Where have you been? I think this looks good. I think it looks really cool. Basic concept is that he plays a dad, takes his daughter to a concert, turns out that this police force has basically set up cameras everywhere. They've barricaded the building and they're trying to catch a serial killer who is attending the concert. And it turns out Josh Hartnett is that serial killer with his daughter there. And the cops are basically pulling a raid on him in the middle of a concert. I think it looks cool. Yeah. Well, what do you think about that basic concept first? Coming from Shyamalan, what do you think about that?
That sounds like that could be a really, really fun. That's something I would love to see. Oh my God. Why can't I think of his name? Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz.
Oh yeah, Edgar Wright.
It'd be like a perfect, because you know, like his timing with the music and everything, and like cutting to the beat. Like I think that could be a really fun kinetic way of shooting, like a very Scott Pilgrim-y, you know, reliant on the music.
Yeah,
we'll see what he does. I don't know. I have no idea. I didn't see the trailer, so I mean, I think that's just.
I think
probably
it looks really
shouldn't.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about it?
Definitely looked cool. Looked interesting. Not a concept I've really seen anywhere.
Yeah, it looks interesting and unique. And I think most of these type of movies, you know, you're with the good guys, you're like, you know, they're going in there to take down the bad guys essentially. But this is kind of opposite. Kind of weird. We're going to be probably rooting for a serial killer to get out of there alive because
yeah, interesting, really interesting.
Who knows what the, you know, a lot of people were kind of curious about it because they show it flat out in the trailer and let everyone know that. The kind of the twist, right? Like one of the twists is that Josh Hartnett's the serial killer. And of course, M. Night Shyamalan, people know him for his twists. So people are trying to figure out what the twist is actually going to be, if there is going to be one. I think Shyamalan's at that point in his career where everyone kind of expects that. And I think I kind of hope there isn't really a big twist. I just hope it's just a fun kind of action,
right?
You know, thriller.
Yeah.
That's all it needs to be. Another cool note, his daughter, Shauna Knight Shyamalan, she plays the pop star in the movie that their concert they're going to see. She's kind of like this.
That was my
Taylor
next
Swift
question.
Type character. Yeah.
I was
actually
wondering, I'm like, hey, what, is he going to get a real band? Nope.
No,
nepotism.
Nope. Nepotism. Well, his daughter is making her directorial debut this year with a movie called The Watchers, which
oh,
we
hey.
The trailer for, the one where they're all stuck in the room. It looks very Shyamalan-like. I think it's got Catherine Newton and some other people in it. It actually looks really good. We've seen the trailer. I don't remember what movie we were watching, but we saw the trailer for it. And it looks great. It looks very much like her dad's work. So I'm excited for that. That comes out this year, but she's also going to be playing the pop star in this movie Trap. So I'm
That's
excited
cool.
for it. I was thinking about it the other day and I was thinking about how I'm excited. I get So listen, Shyamalan has kind of, he's let me down over and over and over again. But I'm still very excited for some reason when I hear he's coming out with a new movie. Like, it's so weird. And I was trying to figure out what makes Shyamalan really tick. And I realized, like, his movies where he focuses on characters like this, where it's really character driven and he, you know, the story revolves around characters, those movies tend to be really, really good when he directs it. Like, he's a great character director. It's when he gets into the concept and the story and the plot over the characters is when he kind of fails a little bit, and when he kind of doesn't seem to know where he's going. Because if you think about his earlier stuff, you have stuff like The Sixth Sense and Unbreakable, and even Signs to an extent were very character-driven stories. But like after that, it really became about the concept and the ideas rather than the characters themselves. So I'm really, really excited to see him kind of step back into the character driven type stories. So
I
I'm
feel like,
excited.
yeah, when he his more successful ones of recent times, like Split, I kind of enjoyed,
I enjoyed Split too, and that
right?
was
And with
very
going back
character
to the
driven.
character driven, yeah, you're totally right. Yeah,
Yeah.
100. Yeah.
And I think that's where he really thrives, and that's when he does really good. And I think I'm still under the impression, I've said it numerous times, I think he's a great director, and I think he's a great storyteller. It's just sometimes he just goes off the rails and tries to do things that he's always looking for that twist, or really just focused on the concept more so than everything else, which kind of throws things away. So yeah, I don't know. It looks good. It looks intense. It looks crazy. I'm excited for it. I think it's gonna be good. So there's some news over the past week that Martin Scorsese and Steven Spielberg have lined up their next projects. So Martin Scorsese one is interesting because I don't know, over the past couple months we've heard rumblings he's supposed to be doing a Jesus movie. He's supposed to be doing a book, movie on, based off a book called The Wager, which is written by the same guy who did Killers of the Flower Moon, basically about a shipwreck and a mutiny and all this stuff. And now it's coming to light that he's actually going to be directing a Martin or a Frank Sinatra's biopic starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence, which I don't know. I think if I'm being honest, I'm not too super stoked about it, just because, listen, it's Martin Scorsese, right? Like, I mean, it's Martin Scorsese. Like, you can't bet against him at all. Like, he's like legit, like objectively one of the greatest filmmakers of all time. Like, just like he belongs on like the Mount Everest of, you know, or not Mount Everest, the what's the one with all the president faces?
Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore of film directors. Amazing. But I have zero to I don't know.
You
What do you
know, there are certain people when you're in this situation. Hey, what kind of music should we put on? Hey, you know, you need never go wrong with some Sinatra. I am not one of those people. I am fly me to the. Oh my God, I am falling asleep already. Like, I no offense, no offense if you're listening to this. Maybe this makes me sound super like uncultured
No, you're
swine, not interested. I'm sure he lived a very
no.
interesting life. I know that he had ties to the mob. That sounds really interesting, and I'm sure Scorsese will have a lot of fun with that. I wouldn't have guessed in a million years. Yes, I love Leo. Of course, he was going to pick Leo. In any other world, it would have been Chris Pratt. So thank God it's Leo.
I'm happy it's Leo. I think Leo, obviously, you know, like you said, you know, Leo's amazing. I don't know, man.
Couldn't care less.
I could care. I couldn't care less. I'm more interested by this. I think The Wager sounds really cool, from what I've read about it, and the book actually looks interesting. Actually, it was funny. We were at Barnes and Noble the other day, and I was like, we were walking. I saw the book, and I do want to read it. It's one of those books I want to read. And I was like, man, I was like, that's like one of the most dad books I've ever seen. But like, can't wait to read it. Like, it looks incredible.
That's awesome.
But he also did The Lost City of Z. He wrote that book too, which I absolutely loved. I read that book. I saw the movie. The movie was okay, but the book was incredible. So I don't know. And also Jesus Christ movie from Martin Scorsese. I know he did The Last Temptation of Christ, which was I thought was incredible. I was kind of interesting to see what this new Jesus movie was going to be from Martin Scorsese, what angle he was going to take, what he was going to do with the character, what it was going to be. But it's so weird though, because he is getting older, right? Like he's up there. I can't really see him trying to like cram in like three projects within like a year or so.
Yeah.
So we'll see what he, I feel like the Sinatra biopic is probably the easiest one, to be honest. I feel like that one's going to be the one that's going to go through. And I feel like that's the one that's going to be made. It'll probably be Apple TV Plus or Apple TV, or Apple will probably back it like they did Flower Moon, and he'll get an unlimited budget and be able to do whatever the heck he wants with it. So that's probably where he's headed. Steven Spielberg has supposedly lined up his new project too. This one I'm actually very, very excited about. He's going back into the world of UFOs, apparently.
Ooh, what's
he? He's nobody knows what it is yet. What it's based on an original story by him and screenwriter David Koepp. David Koepp also directed he wrote the original Jurassic Park. He directed Stir of Echoes. He's done some very, very interesting stuff over the years. So I don't know what it is, but I'm very, very excited to see Spielberg. Hopefully he jumps back into his, I like big budget Spielberg. I like spectacle Spielberg. I like Spielberg. It's not that I don't like his smaller stuff, right? I haven't watched Fablemans yet, but I like that he's able to do those movies, but I also want to see him get back to, he hasn't, Ready Player One, I think was the last like kind of spectacle Spielberg movie.
Yeah.
6 years ago. But I'm excited for this. I think it could be cool. I think it's I don't know what it is, but Spielberg and UFO, sign me up. Encounters. I think it's gonna be interesting. So let's move on to Disneyland Forward. So guys, we have some news about Disneyland Forward. It was approved by the Anaheim City Council to move forward. Now, what it is exactly is it's not particularly, they're not getting more space. What it is they're allowing Disney to build on the space that they have. So what's that? Go ahead.
It's the Toy Story lot, if I'm not mistaken, the one on Harbor.
Yep, that is correct. You can go to, by the way, if you want more information, go to anaheim.net, all the information, or just type in Disneyland Forward. You'll get the official stuff on there. But yes, the Toy Story parking lot. And they're basically, so this is from anaheim.net. It's a plan to update where types of developments can go and how they mix on land Disney owns or operates on around its Anaheim theme parks. They approved it April 17th. The second vote is set for May 7th, but that's pretty much already a go. There's just more formality than anything. So the plan calls for allowing theme park attractions alongside hotels on the west side of Disneyland Drive and theme park attractions alongside new shopping, dining, and entertainment to the southeast on what is today the Toy Story parking area. The plan also calls for additional and new parking east and north of the theme parks and potential footbridges across Harbor Boulevard and Disneyland Drive. So what they're essentially trying to do is turn it into Disney Springs, essentially, at Disney World. I remember Disney Springs is a whole different experience from downtown Disney. Like, it's like its own. You can literally spend a whole day there.
Yes.
Easy. Like, it's just got so much stuff to do, to check out, to take in. I think that's exactly what they're trying to do with this new project. I think not only are they going to be expanding downtown Disney, but they're also going to be adding new theme park experiences. And this is when I turn to you guys, because I know one of the biggest ones that everyone has been talking about is bringing Avatar over to Disneyland Resort in California. So I'm going to start off by saying that I'm not a fan. I think it's a really cool immersive land, but I wish they still kept some stuff exclusive to certain parks and certain areas exclusive to certain parks. There has been rumors over the last few months, actually, of them moving things from like building a Radiator Springs in Hollywood Studios in, Florida. Kind of moving things around and stuff like that and sharing a lot of these experiences. To me, I want to go to Florida and I want to experience Walt Disney World. I want to experience Avatar Land, Pandora in Florida, right? Like, that's why I'm going to Florida. Part of the reason. I feel like if you cross over too much and build the same experiences at too many of the parks, it just becomes very localized and people don't travel to these places anymore. That's just my thoughts. Number two, I'm not thrilled on them wasting a whole plot of land on something like Pandora in Disneyland Resort. I do feel like there are other properties that deserve it. I do feel like that there are other things they can build there. There have been rumors over the past couple years. We've all heard them, right? We had a whole Toy Story Land, the World of Frozen, which opened in Shanghai. Now I'm okay with like overseas stuff coming over here or vice versa in a way, but I don't want a whole lot of the same experiences at Florida and California. Because I want to have reasons to go to both of those things. But what do you guys think? Would you guys be excited about Pandora opening here? Or what other possible lands would you guys want to see them build when they expand these parks? Because they're inevitably going to build, whether it's a third gate or if they're just going to expand California Adventure, whatever it may be. What would you guys like to see there? And what do you guys think is going to happen?
I like to see an expansion of Adventures Campus, but instead of it being like Adventures or Guardians, it being the X-Men Mansion.
That would be something else. That would be really cool. Christian, where are you at on this whole thing? I mean, we're all Disney fans here. We love going to the parks, but what do you think about all this?
I think Disney is so inept at reading the public and kind of gauging what
Kind
the
of reading the
audience
room.
wants. Nobody fucking cares about Avatar expansions. Who cares? James, Jimmy, Mr. Jimbo, Jimothy, can I call you Jimothy? Please
Of
stop.
course.
Nobody asks. Nobody wants this. I know he's so innovative and he has all these ideas for theme park things and rides. I don't can do cool. Can we apply that to stuff that people care about? Like Eli, like X-Men. Let's get an X-Mansion ride. That's way cooler than I don't care how many billions of dollars these movies make. I don't care. I don't care. Like you said, space is so scarce. Let's not waste it on stupid Pandora. Like God, it was so hard to just get like Disneyland to expand, and now we're gonna waste it on Pandora. Like, ugh. I'd rather just be a parking lot. Like, just leave it as a parking lot.
I agree. I will admit, like when we went to Animal Kingdom, like that was kind of the highlight of Animal Kingdom, other than the safari. But like I
But
wasn't
listen what to what you
thrilled.
said, the highlight of Animal Kingdom.
Right, exactly. That's my thing. And it
Right.
still boggles my mind. I'll watch these like vloggers and stuff, and they're waiting. They talk about the lines for the Pandora ride, the motion simulator thing, and it's like almost 2 hours long, or even like the boat ride that goes through. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, I didn't realize there was such an appetite for Avatar that they have to build these theme parks and that people are waiting 2 to 3 hours to get on an Avatar Pandora experience. But yeah, anyways, it
Like,
doesn't
is there
boggles
though? Like, why people like it's just because it's the ride that's a long line. Like, it's also the psychology of like theme parks,
theme park
right?
cycle.
Right. So it's like,
Absolutely.
I don't know.
What would you like to see there? Because they're talking about, there's all these possibilities of like Arendelle, World of Frozen, Tangled and Peter Pan, kind of world that's created together. That's opening up at Fantasy Springs over in Shanghai, but it's a possibility it could come here. Before all these rumors, I heard something about a there's rumors about a whole Peter Pan land, like just basically Peter Pan. Small
Neverland, that'd be
all
awesome.
that
Yeah.
Neverland, that would be amazing. I think they even brought up an idea of Wakanda, like a Wakanda-themed world, Wakanda-themed experience. I mean, I'm not sure that the appetite is there for that 100% either, but they can add that on to the Avengers stuff. Zootopia Land, which has opened in Shanghai, which would be kind of cool. The ride over there looks pretty interesting. And they talk about a whole Toy Story Land building Tron over here, which I don't know. I mean,
I'd be cool
I
with
saw you
that.
fist pump.
I mean, it's Tron.
It's
Come on.
Tron. Or
That is
maybe
one thing that I'm jealous that Florida has, but I'm also with you on like the exclusives to the park. Like, that's really cool that they have that. I don't
yeah,
like,
like
I would want to go to Florida to experience it, you know. But yeah,
exactly.
that is cool. I'm with you, Eli, for sure.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'd be thrilled if it came over here, not gonna lie. Like, there are these things that, like, I'm not particularly, I listen to this podcast and they call them juicy exclusies, which are these, these ones that are two exclusive parks. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see what happens. They could just build a whole new theme park there. Like, they could just build a whole new gate with a whole new experience. They could bring their Westcott idea, which was originally supposed to come over here.
Which was originally supposed to be California Adventure.
Right. California Adventure turned into that from Westcott. But who knows? Possibilities are endless. I honestly think that Disney is going to go forward with the Avatar thing. I think the
I hope
Pandora is
not.
going to be
It's so
on their list.
man, so tone deaf. So tone deaf, Disney.
Yeah.
Like,
it's yeah, I don't know.
Of all of their properties, like, dude, Jim Cameron is spinning something in some board meeting.
He's
Jimmy.
Gotta be. And I want them to open Avengers Campus up more. I know they've been teasing the ride that's supposed to go in that big building there, right, where the Quinjet is and everything like that.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be a big motion simulator where you go fight King Thanos, and it's supposed to be this really, really cool, you know, thing. But as far as I know, they haven't even started on that yet. Like, they haven't even done anything in there. And it's like, why are we focusing on this other stuff when we still have stuff in the parks that needs to be done? And it just boggles my mind that all these things are I don't know. It's just mind blowing. So we'll see what happens. Nothing's going to start on this land. You know, obviously they have the vote coming up, the final vote, which, like I said, is pretty much just a formality at this point. And we'll see kind of what happens from there. Official announcements, and we'll see. And over at Animal Kingdom, speaking of Animal Kingdom, it's becoming more and more kind of, hasn't been officially announced, but that the dinosaur attraction and the whole Dinoland USA, Treasure Planet, yeah, whole Dinoland USA is going to be turned into a Indiana Jones / Encanto experience. Dinosaur the Ride is essentially Indiana Jones, but with an overlay, so they can do some, it'll be a, I'm not going to say it's going to be easy because there's a lot to do, but it's going to be more of an easy layout, you know, easy.
It's going to be easier than building a whole new attraction.
Exactly. So they can just revamp it and remake it into Indy. That'll be fine. And just by the way, we watched Atlantis again last night.
Yes.
And
you texted me about this. I love that.
Oh
you
my
just
gosh, dude.
That.
I had no clue. I, for some reason, it makes sense when you watch it. I'm like, this is so Mike Mingola, like Mingola. Like, it's crazy. I didn't realize that he had done a lot of the character designs.
If you're a keen eye, if you have a keen eye or you're a fan of Mingola's, if you are familiar with his design sensibility, look at everybody's hands. It's everybody has Hellboy's hands. Like,
their
it's
faces,
amazing.
Their chins, like everything, and even from the like the way they animated some of the like the statues coming out of the water and stuff. It just it was straight out of a Hellboy comic. Like,
it's all his design sensibility. It's so good.
It's beautiful, and I love that movie too. I haven't watched it in a while.
Underrated, really underrated,
very underrated. Like,
like
I was
little to no representation.
Gosh.
In the parks.
None. I mean, you know, initially they were supposed to do the submarine voyage, was supposed to be an Atlantis experience, but the movie unfortunately tanked at the box office, and they scrapped that for Nemo. And that
I thought it was supposed to be 20,000.
No, well, they've been bouncing around ideas for a long time.
Doesn't matter. That ride sucks. It smells like hamburgers in there. It's gross.
That's like the COVID can right there.
Yeah, it's so
that's
gross.
How you get COVID. Get on that ride.
People are saying how the COVID tunnel exists in Space Mountain.
Oh, that is the that Space Mountain tunnel is the COVID tunnel. I'm sorry, that's like the COVID tunnel.
But at the same time, it's better than the COVID can,
and it's not nearly as bad as we talked about this yesterday. The Space Mountain at Florida.
Mm-hmm.
My God, that you walk in and it's just like this a crowd of people, and it's all just switchbacks, and you're constantly pushing up against one another. It was
and
like,
just people like
it's so like, gross, so gross.
Coughing with their mouth wide open.
Yeah, it's disgusting. But yeah, let us know what you all think. I love to hear what you guys think, what you guys want them to build there, what they could do. And we'll see in like 5 or 6 years what comes of it, right? Like, I mean, it's going to take a while for them to do everything, to even announce stuff. Disney has been, they've been very bad. They'll say, oh, we have these great ideas, but they're really bad with like teasing stuff and then just not going through with it.
Because I think it's like I'm sure they have at least like a dozen, if not more, possibilities of like what this is going to be. Everything is completely fleshed out down to like the inch of like, you know, Everything is scheduled out. So if we go with A, this is what the budget is going to be. This is like their timeline. They've got that all figured out. And like, I'm sure I know more than a few people who've been working on that worked on that years ago and probably forgot. But they probably heard the announcement. They're like, oh, yeah, I worked on
I,
that.
one thing that they do need to build there is a Disney villain land. Like they've been talking about that for years.
Oh,
Just focus on the Disney villains. That would be incredible. It's like a
yeah.
really dark.
Take the college from Twisted Wonderland. It's like all villain centric.
That would be
You
cool.
got like the
That'd be
different
cool.
houses centered around the different villains.
Gotcha.
It's basically Hogwarts, but Disney villains.
Excellent.
That would be
Perfect.
so cool. We haven't done it on this podcast, but I do eventually want to talk about Epic Universe and what it's going to be. We've done it on a couple on another podcast, but I would love to get deeper into it now that we have more information about it. But we'll do that in a couple weeks. Really, really
When it
excited to
gets
dig into
closer to
that.
it coming out,
Well, yeah, it's going to be opening soon. I think
surprisingly soon.
June or July,
Yeah.
which
Damn, already. Wow.
yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. All right, let's talk about Fallout. Christian, you've seen the first couple episodes. You're a big Fallout guy.
I am. I am.
Talk about Fallout. Talk about let's talk about Fallout.
So the first thing I heard, I forgot that it was releasing. I wasn't trying to pay too much attention to it. I was excited for it. For those of you that aren't familiar with the property, Jonathan Nolan, who co-wrote a lot of like the Dark Knight series, a brother to Christopher Nolan, is the writer and like showrunner. He directed a lot of the episodes. So that was one thing that was reassuring. Being a fan of the Fallout series, I was really curious because there is like an overall story, but it's not like, you know, when you think of like Assassin's Creed, you think of like Desmond or you think of Ezio or whatever. There's not like this central character to Fallout. There's like a central plot or
Gotcha.
story. So it's kind of curious to see what they did. Watching the first two episodes, and I think a lot of people that have played the game can attest to this. Everything that every other adaptation, one, we are lucky to be, if you're a gamer or you're a nerd, we are lucky to be living in the time that we're living in right now. Two, for those of us, we've been waiting for like a good video game adaptation, and I think we're now getting them, you know, like
Yeah.
between the Tomb Raiders that have been coming out from past, but now to like the Pokemon movie, down to The Last of Us last week, to now this. I wouldn't even
Can't forget
consider
Sonic.
this. Yeah, it's like Sonic. So I wouldn't even consider this like a version of like the movies are all like, oh, this is Ryan Reynolds' take on like Pikachu or whatever. Like this isn't like a version of Fallout. This isn't a take on Fallout. This is Fallout. Like everything that you're looking at, the design sensibility, the story, the sense of humor, everything is 100% Fallout. Like the details, it's incredible. So like if you played the games, it's like you're right at home. You're right. You know, like okay, you know what everybody else can expect, but you don't know what's going to happen next. So that's what's so fun about this. The writing is fantastic. The actors that they have are perfectly cast. So far, I'm really excited about it. It is just like Fallout. There's always like this moral story that's sick and twisted somehow. Like there's always something like just wrong about something that's going on in the story, and it's always like bubbling below the surface. So we get that vibe right away from it. Also touching. Oh my God, he plays the ghoul. He's like the.
Walter Goggins?
Yes, Walter
I love
Goggins,
Walter
Walton
Goggins.
Goggins.
Walton Goggins,
Yeah,
yes.
absolutely fantastic. Like you can't go wrong with him. The opening to this is like heartbreaking. Just the first like 10 minutes of the movie, the show, fantastic. You'll be hooked. So, I'm excited to see more of it. I think it's again one of these things we've kind of talked about this last week. When we get to see people who are passionate about what they do the thing. You know, when we get to see fans of a property work on that
And
property,
that's, yeah.
like this is the result of that, right? This is X-Men, this is Fallout, this is our friends over at the Loyal Subjects, like it's passion projects. It's and passion isn't everything, obviously, because sometimes you can be really passionate but have no idea what you're doing. So it's a lot of everything, but definitely recommend. I am also curious as to why they decided to release the whole thing all at once and not release this weekly. This should have been a weekly release. So crazy, but whatever.
By the way, they have already greenlit a season two.
Yeah.
They are in production of that.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. I love hearing that because, like, especially when things are greenlit for season two, that's when my interest perks up a little bit more. Cause, like, I hate when, like, you watch something, you get into something for one season and then they just.
Me too.
Stop. So now I think I'm more excited to watch it. I haven't played any of the Fallout games. People have told me I need to play the Fallout games. Just have never got around to them.
That was the first review that I saw. You don't have to know anything about the games.
That's good.
To enjoy the show. Like it's very clear. And it's a dark sensibility. Like the humor is really dark. So if you're into that, you'll be right at home.
Absolutely. That's cool. That's right up our alley. We're definitely, definitely, definitely going to check that out. You brought up X-Men. Let's talk about X-Men. There will be some spoilers here for the most recent episodes. So if you haven't watched those, thanks for listening. Thank you for checking out the show. Really appreciate it. But anyways, Christian, what did you think of the last episode of X-Men 97? I think.
No spoilers. So for those.
You can get into spoilers.
Okay, I still really want to continue talking about episode 5 because that was nuts. Bo DeMeo, the former showrunner of season 1 and season 2, finally came out publicly. He didn't talk about why he got fired, but he did talk about episode 5 and their kind of approach to it. So basically, you felt it. If you saw the episode, you can tell immediately, like, this is what they were gearing up towards. The whole season was, like, leading up to this episode. And that's exactly it. He basically wanted to treat this as like the 9/11 of the episode of the season. So like everything leading up to this was like the happy 90s X-Men. This was the 90s. So this is the X-Men that you're used to, the soap opera, the drama. And then boom, we have a world changing event. And now everything is going to be different after.
I didn't think about that.
Like absolutely world shattering. So he basically was like, that's how he pitched it to Kevin. He was like, this is going to be like the 9/11 episode. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, and rightfully so, like for those of us that are familiar with the storyline from the comics, like that's exactly what this needs to be, right? Like you can't go back to, like, you can't reset after we do something as devastating as this. And I think the way that they handled it, like I haven't rewatched it. I rewatched everything up until that episode last night. I stayed up until like 3 and I had to turn it off before.
I can't even think about that scene, to be honest with you.
I can't even, like, I get so emotional. Like all week it's been, if I'm an actor and I have a crying scene, I'm just going to think about episode 5 of X-Men 97. But yeah, anyway, it was really cool to hear him kind of break that down. There's a lot of people that have theories of like, oh, it's comics, it's superheroes. Dead people never stay dead. I don't know, man. There's always been like a couple of rules in comics, and one of them's been broken. Like Gwen Stacy is always supposed to stay dead. She's famously not dead anymore, obviously. Right. To a lot of celebration, because Spider-Gwen is amazing.
Absolutely.
One of the other people that was supposed to stay dead forever is Professor X, or Jean. And Jean's also come back. Professor X is another person who's still dead. So I don't know. We'll see. And he's a famous X-Men who's been dead and stayed dead. So I don't know. We'll see. I don't want to make any predictions about who's coming back. But I don't think that everybody that we've lost is coming back in this continuity.
Right.
So without
spoilers. You watched the recent episode, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is he just on he's just on another plane, right?
Who?
Oh, Xavier.
Oh, okay. So Xavier is like on like a different planet.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the whole like Shi'ar Empire with like Lilandra and everything. Gotcha. So yeah, the X-Men think he's dead. He was never dead.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah.
So like, when I say he's dead in the comics, he's dead in the comics.
Oh, in the comics. Okay.
Completely different reason.
I was like, wait, did you watch it? No. But yeah, I mean, I really like the way, and again, we're getting into spoiler territory here, but I really like the way that they utilized Gambit in this new episode.
Yeah.
In Professor Xavier's mind, and he was kind of the catalyst for Xavier to kind of know something was wrong, right? Like this isn't right. Like something's happening. I have to go back. I thought it was a really well done episode. I thought the storm stuff was incredible. I
Oh,
thought, oh, this when
God.
she got her powers back, I was like, all right, like she's back. Like this is incredible. And again, I know, like, I was into the I was into comics a lot, but I wasn't like into the comics. So like a lot of my induction, introduction to X-Men and stuff was through the animated series and through the movies and stuff like that. I do have knowledge of the comics and stuff, but not as deep as like you do, Christian, or a lot of other people. But seeing the arcs and how they're handling everything is exactly what the show needed, what we needed. And I'm very curious what they're how they're obviously it's not MCU, right? Like it's not it is, but it's not canon, I guess. Or it is, I don't know, but I'm very curious how they're going to handle the live action stuff once they get to live action X-Men. I know it's not going to be related anyway to the show, and I kind of hope it's not to an extent. I hope they kind of do their own thing and stuff, but
I also do hope this is a good barometer for like what they can do.
right.
You know what I mean? Or like what's popular, because I think I don't want to even claim to be the one to say this, but like, you know, for those of us that have been X-Men fans this whole time that had to suffer through the last 20 years of these goddamn Fox movies, to know that like I'm still not excited because we'll see what's going to happen,
Oh, I'm not either, to be honest.
but real X-Men fans know that this is Marvel's real golden goose. Like, this is their richest IP, not the Avengers, not even Spider-Man. It's X-Men. It's always been X-Men. I mean, I would say Spider-Man and X-Men are the two big ones, but like way more than the Avengers. I think Kevin has known this whole time. Like, this is his big masterstroke he's been holding off on.
Well,
Like,
he produced the original X-Men movies
yeah,
for Fox. So like I think
exactly.
They use the Avengers, as we all know. They've used the Avengers because they didn't have X-Men, they didn't have
Exactly.
Spider-Man. So they
But
just
I think like now he's like, oh, when are we gonna do, like, because he knows as soon as he releases the X-Men, it changes the face of the MCU, because now it's gonna be like X-Men centric, right? It's gonna be X-Men focused, because now he has to build up the team, right? We've already like said goodbye to Steve, to Tony, like, so it's a good time for us to kind of maybe step away from the Avengers for a little bit. We obviously have to wrap up everything, but this is kind of the perfect way for them to transition into the X-Men, transition away from the Avengers, bring on Exiles. They can do that to clean up, like work with the TVA if they want to like tie up things, but clean up like the multiverse and just end that finally and
Right.
just move forward, you know? But
Absolutely.
yeah, seeing X-Men 97, I think the way that they're handling it also with their characters, like, not the way the Fox was, is just Wolverine centric everything. And Wolverine at the center of everything. And I kind of like how he's really taken a back seat on the show. Like, he's still like prominent. It's Wolverine for sure,
Right,
but
right.
he's not like a main character. Like, it's, you know, he hasn't even had like a real like Wolverine centric episode yet, you
No, he
know?
hasn't, and that's another thing that Bo brought up too when he was in the. I don't know if it's the same interview or not, but he was talking about how when he pitched it to Kevin, it was very. He wanted to make sure that it was clear that it wasn't a Wolverine. Like
Yes.
it's not the Wolverine show. It's an X-Men. He wanted to tell X-Men stories, and it's Wolverine is there, like you said, he's a character and people love him, but he's not taking center stage.
Yeah.
You should so it's going. I'm very curious. I think there's only a few episodes left, 3 or 4 episodes left of this season. So we'll see where it goes from there. I do have a question for you, Christian. Do you think Taylor Swift is going to be showing up in Deadpool 3, Deadpool and Wolverine as Dazzler? There are a bunch of reports that she might be. Obviously, rumors. The MCU rumor mill is amazing. We might get Mephisto. Who knows?
I am willing to put my, because there were rumors that she was going to play Dazzler in the last one. Here's the thing. I know that she's good friends with Ryan Reynolds. Like, they're like actual like
Well,
friends friends.
her and Blake were at the Super Bowl together.
Yeah. So if anybody is going to be able to convince Taylor Moon to play, you know what I mean? It's going to be Ryan. I would love that. I think that's perfect. Who the hell else would you? I don't know. I think that's so
I think it's
perfect.
gonna be great. I think
Yeah. This is a
I
fun
think
little cameo.
yeah, I think it'll be fun. And it's one of those things too where like Listen, I know people want to be gatekeepy about a lot of stuff, but you get more people into that theater to see the movie, the better, right? Like you get
Yeah.
Swifties going in there to check out Taylor Swift and Deadpool versus what might not be the movie that they're expecting. Who knows if they've seen the other ones? Who knows? But hey, more power to them.
Here, okay,
That is
just for
fun.
the sake of argument, like I get it, right? Like there was an episode of Game of Thrones where like you pan over and you see a guard and it's Ed
Oh,
fucking
shoot.
Sheeran's
Yeah,
potato head
never hearing
and you're
about
like,
that.
"Jesus." The thing is
Sigur
though,
Rós in there too.
yeah, but you know what Sigur Rós was doing? They were playing a band. You know
Exactly.
what Taylor's gonna do? She's gonna play a singer. You know what
Yeah.
Ed Sheeran is definitely not a trained guard. So maybe be smart about how you use these celebrities in your thing.
Absolutely.
Don't take your audience out of the experience.
Definitely, definitely. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. I'm excited. I'm excited for Deadpool and Wolverine. We'll see when it's
Soon.
coming out. New Taylor Swift album is out now. Eli's been listening to it nonstop. Tortured Poets Department.
I bought Dana the double vinyl exclusive.
Cassie bought that too. She's been listening to it nonstop. She
Okay.
hates me right now for no reason.
Yeah,
But
steer clear.
I'm being tortured. Yeah.
It's a pretty album. It's a very soft, like melodic, like
It
very
is.
pretty album.
It is.
And
Pearl
it's
Jam
nice.
dropped a new album on Friday too.
Hey now.
There was this meme going around with it had like half of it was Barbie and half of it was Oppenheimer. And it's
All
when Taylor
over
Swift
again.
and Pearl Jam dropped the albums on the
Definitely.
same day.
That's so funny.
But yeah, so anyways, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for checking out the show. If you want to follow us, you can follow me on pretty much all the socials, Kevin Hoskinson, Kevin underscore Hoskinson. And don't forget, check out Pastrami Nation on social as well to check out all the footage and all the coverage from C2E2 this year. And Christian, where can they find you?
You can find me on Instagram at Christian Nacorda. Let's draw. Also, there I should. If you guys are familiar with Brainstorm School, check us out. We are Brainstorm School on Instagram. We have a big event coming up next week. If you're local, it's awesome. Steve Hampton, Cynics, a bunch of artists that you guys are probably familiar with. We're doing a live event. You can sign up. I think tickets are still available, so check us out. And you can see me in person. You can.
Yeah.
Give me a high five in person, and then I'm gonna wash my hands because you're probably disgusting.
Yeah.
But come see me.
You can do that. Absolutely. Go see Christian and Eli. I know we can't really say where you're at because, well, to protect you.
Yeah.
But in place of that, shout out one anime you think people need to watch right now.
One Piece.
What, you got something else? Like something deep, like throw us a deep cut that like maybe not a lot
Cyberpunk
of people.
Edgerunners.
Deep cut that maybe people haven't heard of.
I don't really know a whole lot.
You've been watching anime like crazy.
I know.
What are you watching right now?
I've been watching Black Clover.
Okay. What was that? The Grim Variants
I
on
know.
Netflix. That looks interesting. I haven't watched it yet, but it's basically anime versions of some of your favorite fairy tales. That looks cool.
Ooh,
Since it's
so.
April. And if it comes, and if you hear this in April, go watch Your Lie in April, please.
See, there you go. That's one that
There
what's
you
it
go.
called? Your Lie in April. Your Lion April? Like the
Your Lie in
Your
April.
Lie. Oh, okay. Your Lie in April. Yeah, go
I
check that
see. I
out. All
see.
right, you guys. We will see you all next week. And as usual, stay nerdy, America. Bye-bye.